we're going to be talking movies with our dear friend, our bud, our pal, Mr. Paul Preston from the Movie Guys. .net.
Hello.
Paul.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How you doing, buddy?
You know, given I had a root canal yesterday, I actually feel great today.
Oh, my God. Really?
Like, the day can only improve upon a previous day being a root canal day. So, I'm good.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, bud.
I've heard stories about, like, you know, horrible pain, people walking around, they can't hit deal. I was up and out and doing stuff, and today I feel fine. So
nice.
Yeah, bad root canal is really a myth. The whole idea of a root canal is take away what causes any pain you might have. So after it's over, right, you wouldn't have that pain.
That's well put. That is exactly, because that's exactly it. They drill the nerve out of your tooth, so what's left to feel any pain?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Listen, I got to comment on two things. First of all, one of the most hilarious things, I forgot who said it, but when you said Anne Hathaway will be returning to Genovia, yeah, somebody there on the team went, wait, what the fuck? Wait, fuck.
That was lyric.
That's hilarious. That's probably, but you're not going to hear that response at a press conference.
No, of course not.
Also, let's not forget a couple, sadly. You talk about the huge week of deaths. We got to throw in Chad McQueen. Steve McQueen's son. He was one of the original Cobra Kai.
I forgot about him.
Who has my favorite line in The Karate Kid. Yeah.
I forgot about him.
Oh, did you talk about that?
Well, we talked about it 2 weeks ago when he passed.
Oh,
yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
But boy, he has my favorite line in Karate Kid. Just right before the big match, he goes, points or no points, you're dead meat. And then he has to repeat it. I love how he repeats it. Dead meat. Like, you don't know what dead meat is. It's just hilarious. He's the best. And, but this one went unsung, and I don't think you probably talked about this last week. Robert Watts died. And if you don't know Robert Watts, he produced a couple of films you may have heard of, like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Return of the Jedi, The Empire Strikes Back, and Raiders of the Lost Ark. Robert Watts is legend.
Were those big films?
Well, it was the last Indiana Jones movie.
A 4E time. Yeah. But, yeah, so Robert Watts, I mean, this Raiders of the Lost Ark, my favorite all-time movie. When I heard he passed, I was pretty broken up. But, yeah. You know, I think he had a long life. And also unsung, Tito Jackson.
Yeah, we Tito talked about Jackson Tito last too. 2 weeks.
You talked about Tito? All right.
Yeah.
Sure. Cool. I just want to make sure, because we've had an avalanche. It's been brutal.
It has. The ones I mentioned today, I mean, it was just in the past week alone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, Kris Kristofferson, Mutombo, Ken Page, Maggie Smith, John Amos, Pete Rose. I mean, good God. You know,
I was like, I was afraid you were going to get away from your Amos retrospective without somebody mentioning Coming to America. I'm like, come on, you lead with Coming to America. Then he gets everything.
Yeah. And you know, John was like one of those actors where you see him in this film or that film, and then it didn't matter if it was comedy or drama. I mean, he was so good in everything he did.
And wasn't he was a villain in Die Hard, too. I don't know if you mentioned that, but...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, yeah, he played, like, tough guy well, too, you know?
Yeah.
He was awesome, too.
Yeah, that's right, he played the general, yeah. Or the captain or whatever, who was supposed to take out, and he didn't.
He was the head of the bad guys.
Yeah.
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 Very special dude, man. Very
ended awesome. Up falling into a jet engine, I believe, for his demise.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Not in real life, but yeah, that's yeah, in the movie.
But I loved him, though, as Fritz Wallace in The West Wing, though. He was just so good in that, too. I mean, it's a small part, but every time he showed up, I got excited.
The cast and people came in and out of the show. An embarrassment of riches, really.
Yeah. But, yeah, exactly. All right,
well,
buddy.
Speaking of great casts, if I may.
Yeah.
I caught in advance, although it's playing in New York and L.A., it'll go wide later. But if you're in New York and L.A., go out and check this movie out now. If not, it should be coming to you, that being Saturday Night.
Mm.
It also just played the festival circuit and was pretty generally enjoyed and liked film. So if you don't know, this is the movie we've been waiting for that's about the start of Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Covers the lead up to the broadcast of the first episode. And back then it was, of course, called Saturday Night. They even called it NBC's Saturday Night. It was just kind of like, we can't have Carson on every night. Let's try whatever you got, Lorne Michaels. And I'll read right from the poster. The writers are inebriated. The set is on fire. The sound system is wrecked. The actors are physically assaulting each other. The crew is in open revolt. They have 90 minutes to figure it all out, or the network is pulling the plug. That's your movie, right? Essentially, Lorne Michaels trying to launch revolutionary television with an eclectic cast on October 11th, 1975. So that anniversary is coming up next Friday. I think when the film goes live, and that's the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. So you're going to see in this movie people portrayed, a lot of them who were very wrong about the demise of Saturday Night Live. You know, I love seeing the people like the Ford Fiesta, this podcast I do about Harrison Ford. That's our whole thing. Back in the 70s, you know, all these movies Harrison Ford was in, nobody wanted these movies made. American Graffiti, Star Wars, you know, Jaws, The Conversation, The Godfather, you know, like everyone was all against all these films. And and this is another one, a TV show where like, it's not gonna work, what are you doing? But it's from Jason Reitman. So Ivan's kid, he's got his finger on the pulse of comedy since he's been a kid. And I'm actually rather glad he directed this instead of the last Ghostbusters movie, because I think he knocks this one out of the park. It's really, really fun. The first thing I came away thinking is, watching the scramble to put the show together, I want to be there then. You know, I just, like, God, I want to be there then in that comedy revolution, you know, although they hesitated calling themselves that. It really was that. And I want to be in this movie, and I want to make this movie. So, like, all three, like, those three things, cool. I just wanted all those things, you know. And better movies might be made this year about more important subjects or anything, but this movie, this has to be very good, and it's already one of my year's favorites just because of what it's about. Like, this is a bullseye for stuff I dig. I mean, I love comedy, and watching people bat it about, fight with the censors, you know, and struggle to, like, put something new out there. We're still looking for new shit every week, you know, on television and in movies. So that made it super fun. There are differences, of course, between how it happened in real life and how it happens in the movie. They truncate everything, squeeze it in to 90 minutes, you know, before the show. And characters show up who you won't see until later, but some had, you know, in real life, like writers who don't join. But they put it all into a fast pace. I mean, it is super fast paced. This is like Aaron Sorkin, speaking of which, of the West Wing, right? On coke. It's really just boom, boom, boom. It's moving. All the actors are good. You know, without being caricatures, really. Dylan O'Brien is probably the only one who anybody knows, and even may not know by name, but he was like the Maze Runner guy, I think, right? Who was the lead in that? Okay. And American Assassin and some other films. But other than that, it's a cast of who? And except Gabriel LaBelle plays Lorne Michaels, and he was the lead kid who played the Spielberg-type character in The Fablemans. And I loved him in that. He's great in this, and I'm a very quick fan of his, so I'm excited for whatever he decides to do here going forward. So look for that name, Gabriel LaBelle. He's quite good.
Paul, real quick, I mean, in telling this story, because I just read something recently on dealing with some of the cast members, though, did they dive into how much some of the cast members got along or didn't get along on the show?
Oh, yes. Yeah. In fact, one of the most notorious things is that I think Bill Murray and Chevy Chase, I think, had a fight, because Bill kind of came in as Chevy was leaving. Anyway, but that didn't happen at the end. So they didn't move that to the opening episode. They did be faithful to that, but they accelerated the animosity between Belushi and Chase a little more than I think it probably was. Although it was there, it's certainly elevated, I think, for the film to make good drama.
You know? Right. Yeah.
But certainly, and there's a, that was a thing for sure. You know, you're bringing in people from all over the place. In fact, Lamorne Morris plays Garrett Morris, no relation, but he is one of my favorites. And he, you know, they're not trying to do imitations, but boy, he just acted just like Garrett Morris. And it was interesting, something I actually never knew about Garrett Morris is that, you know, they're pulling people from National Lampoon, Second City, all these different places.
Yeah.
But he, like, kind of comes from writing, singing, opera, other stuff, you know, like he's like an actor. So his whole storyline of feeling kind of out of place was an interesting dynamic too for one of the actors on the show.
Yeah, okay. The reason why I asked the question was because I just saw an article recently where Lorraine Newman, who's a part of the original cast, and she is the sister of a dear friend of mine, which is Tracy Newman. Which you know.
Steve. We were at her house.
Yeah, we were. Yeah. And Lorraine just came out recently, I guess, that John Belushi was giving her crap that she came up through the Groundlings, I guess, versus like Second City or whatever.
You know, the women actually make the women come off great in the movie. Uh-huh. Like, it seems like Gilda, Jane, and Lorraine were just there to have fun, crack jokes, and have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, while Chase is the, you know, fighting with Belushi. Belushi is like in another planet. He's not even signing his contract before the show. They got to get him to sign his contract before the show airs.
Wow.
You know, they've been rehearsing and everything with him, but he's just a bizarre dude. And Aykroyd is like sleeping with Lauren's wife, and so there's a whole thing going on. Well, they're separated, but you know, it's a whole thing there. But the girls just like float and have fun and are great, you know, as awesome. They are on the show. So
awesome.
They come up real good.
Cool. We'll have to check it out. All right. What's next, bud?
Well, I can't get away from talking about Saturday Night without saying Michael O'Donoghue is represented here. And if you don't know who he is, look him up. He was an early writer, and just every show needs a Michael O'Donoghue. And when you watch the movie, you'll see too. He's like all up the censor's ass, and he writes great stuff. He was in the very first sketch on the very first show where he's teaching Belushi's character language. He's giving him language lessons. He eventually has a heart attack that makes for a big bit in the show. But anyway, Michael O'Donoghue. That shows today need him, and he left us years ago. But so don't forget that name. Look him up. Find his sketches and enjoy a nice little comedy wormhole. He's the best.
Cool.
What is not a comedy wormhole? Joker, Folie à Deux.
Yeah, I've heard about
I saw it last night. Yeah. Folie à Deux, of course, means so much smoking, which is true. There's a lot of smoking in this movie. Now, actually, it means there is a lot of smoking, but it does mean mental illness shared between two people in close association. So that's what we're dealing with as Joker's Arthur Fleck. This film follows the aftermath of him shooting Murray Franklin on the live TV show. So he's in prison awaiting trial where he meets Harley Quinn. And, and it's a musical. No. So there's that.
That's what I heard.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite that description, nothing happens in this movie. Nothing of consequence really gets accomplished. Now, at the end of the film, the movie makes an interesting point about like the iconography of the Joker as like a concept, and but like Chicago is one of my favorite musicals, right? Movie musicals, and they use the Dream Cabaret sequence to advance the story. Like when Queen Latifah comes on board, she has a whole song that sings about what she's all about. So then when you get into a scene with her, you know, oh, okay, she's the kind of person where you give her something, she'll give you something back. She's a quid pro quo running this prison, you know. But there just aren't any things like that in this. Like every time they do a song, I'm like, why are they doing this? Because for musicals, like when Oklahoma came up, the deal is you sing because you can no longer express yourself in words. You know, you love this person so much, you got to burst into song, or you know.
And there's a bright golden haze
on the meadow. but so yeah, that's that never happens here. They sing songs, and I'm like, why did we take time to do that and do it poorly and not really stage a musical number with any bravado? It's I don't know. It's all kind of underthought for me. I'm not sure this movie is for. You know, if you like the first one, I'm not sure you're going to come in and love this one.
I wasn't crazy about the first one. How did you feel about the first one?
Well, I actually had a real panic attack watching that movie. It is one of the most uncomfortable movies I've ever seen, and that's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, Todd Phillips did have a great quote about that movie. He said, if you want uncomplicated art, you might want to take up calligraphy, but filmmaking will always be a complicated art. And that was, of course, in response to, is his movie just, you know, not, like, is it, what's the word I'm looking for? Irresponsible. You know, to like, prop up and showcase this person who's clearly mentally ill. You know, and more of that happens in this movie, but to less effect, I think. The score is still great. One of the most uncomfortable things, I think, about that first movie. But I don't know. When it ended, I was just like, man, I wish I got my Heath Ledger and a Christopher Nolan's Arkham Asylum movie. That would have been the best.
That would have been dope.
Yeah. But instead, we have this. And I'm not sure Phillips even wanted to make it. I think the studio pressured him because Joker made $1 billion.
I've heard
number one R-rated movie.
Really?
I've heard they pressured him to make it because Sony put it out, but they didn't make any money off it because they only put in like very little of the $50 million. They put in like barely little anything.
Like two.
And other investors did it. So when that $1 billion came back, they didn't make any money from that.
Wow.
So for this time, they put $200 million in of their own money. They're the only ones who financed it, and they wanted him to make a sequel. And I heard the same thing, man. I heard he didn't really want to do it, but they just threw all this money at him, so he's like, fuck it. Then he made it to where there can't be a sequel.
Wow.
Yeah, so this kind of feels like a big middle finger to the studios, to us, to everybody. Like,
that's what I heard, man. Damn, that's disappointing.
You know what folie à deux means? It means go fuck yourself. So there you go. That's what.
Yay!
So there you go.
Wow.
I thought it was a cut of meat.
No, that's filet mignon.
Filet mignon.
Yeah, that's.
I thought that's
when you yawned. That's great.
Oh, hey, how you doing, Paul?
How you doing?
All right. Anything else, Paul?
No, and I could tell you to go see Megalopolis, the big Francis Ford Coppola extravaganza, but I'm not sure he made that movie for us either.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, from the I could tell you a little
bit.
Here's the thing about that and the Joker movie. I read some Roger Ebert reviews lately for some old stuff that he wrote, obviously, and he said, you know a movie's bad very early. But if you're not sure, see it again. And I found that with a lot of films. I watch them a second time and I go, even Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I reviled, I said, okay, second time is better. Still not great. Not hardly good, but better. So these movies sometimes deserve a second go around. And there's so many wild swings and choices made in Joker, Folie à Deux, and Megalopolis that it's like you kind of can't stop watching. You kind of got to at least give it a shot. But. They almost end with like free from review. It's like, well, that's a thing that guy made and he was proud of it, or he liked it, or he wanted us to all go screw ourselves, whatever they are. Yeah, great. But you know, that's, I don't get passionate like Saturday night. I just went, oh my god, I'm so wrapped up in this, this is great, and I'm having a blast and I'm laughing my ass off. So that's a different whole thing entirely.
That's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, movies like Joker, or you know, or even the second one right now, you know, it's I think they're trying to be artsy to a degree, and especially with Joaquin Phoenix, because I mean he's a very strange guy, and I just feel like here's some serious acting that I can do, you know, kind of a thing.
And he won the Oscar. So.
Yeah, and he won the Oscar for it, you know, which is fine because you know I feel like he got dissed or whatever because of Gladiator, you know, which I thought he was great in.
True.
You know, but, yeah. You know.
He's great in Quills. He's great in a lot. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah. And I feel like that's why these films were made, is just to kind of go show what the range that he can do. But, you know, it's like the same thing. Okay, yeah, you won an Oscar for what film? Oh, okay. And then people forget about it, you know. And
they're not fun.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Robin Williams once explained it brilliantly. He said, yeah, you know, he goes, you know, the first couple of days, it's like, hey, congratulations, whatever. But he goes, 2 weeks later, you know, people look at him and go, Popeye, right?
Yeah.
You know,
hilarious.
Mork and Mindy, yeah, right? You know, and you go, yeah. And they forgot that you won the Oscar, you know. And I feel that's what this is. And I feel like, I just feel like Joaquin is trying to prove himself. You know, and there's nothing to prove. He's a great actor.
Yeah, that much is for sure. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Well, we won't know what he's going to do next. He's notoriously in the news lately because he agreed to do a Todd Haynes film. Great filmmaker, made the movie Far From Heaven and some other stuff. But he pulled out, like, way late in the process, like, with weeks to go before shooting. And everyone's out of a job now.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he got a lot of bad press for that. So he's got to weasel his way out from under that in terms of the Hollywood community at this point. And I don't know if this is going to make the money Joker did to help him.
I don't think so.
On that cause, but yeah. But people will see it. You know, so they'll come out the first weekend, but I think once word gets out that it's Kendon.
That second week drop will be catastrophic.
And Smile's coming out, too.
Yeah. Smile,
too.
I still don't see the first one.
Exactly. So smile, too. Here comes Smile, too. Clear your calendars.
Yeah.
Exactly. I never saw the first one, yo.
Me neither.
Listen, no joke though. If you want, you want to make your money back, make a horror movie.
Yeah,
I mean, because their budgets are like $10 million. Even if they make 50, you've made five times your budget. If a Marvel movie makes 50, it's a massive failure because it costs $200 million. So, Smile 2 will probably make money,
probably.
And then Jason Blum, you know, is laughing all the way to the bank with his. Cheap horror movies that do well. So I don't know if he made that one, but whoever's making a horror movie, you're probably in the right. It's like some of the only stuff of making money this year after, you know, Fall Guy and Mad Max and all these other things kind of crash.
Well, I think
keep it cheap, you'll do well.
Well, aren't they doing like Sharknado 24 or something like that too, or something? Or?
Yeah, I don't even have a genre that falls in. that ain't horror. That ain't comedy. I don't know what that is.
We're doing horror. We're doing Hurricanes. It's a movie about hurricanes full of raccoons.
I was my makeup one for that. Boy, am I gonna touch that?
Bro, I wish you could have seen my face when he said that, man. Like, what the fuck did you just say, man? Hurricanes with fucking raccoons. Where the fuck is this gonna take place at, man?
Wow. Oh, what I always wanted to make was Death Skeeto versus Hippopotamus Dragon.
Oh yes.
What is yours?
Hey, I got the Mosquito Man versus the Big Bad Bed Bug.
There you go.
It's already, it's
none
the
of
works.
These are bad ideas, apparently.
Not at all, man.
I think they
not
should,
at all, man.
They should make a movie called Combine Nado, where the tornadoes in the West start picking up these big combines off the farms and they take them to different cities and they attack people and the combine's going down the street screwing up cars and killing people.
Someone will buy that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know. Exactly.
What the fuck,
the next
Steve?
Movie's
what the fuck, Steve? <don't...
laughs> Oh, my God. Kids, don't do drugs.
No. It's a combinator.
This is your brain on drugs.
Yeah. Oh, it's a combinator.
All righty, Paul. I think we're laughing too much over here, which is great. So
I have a quick question for Paul and for you guys.
Right. Okay.
I may have talked about it before with Paul. But have you ever heard of a movie called Putney Swope?
No, sir.
I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
It was directed by Robert Downey Sr.
Oh, okay.
And it's an advertising agency that loses its head. And the board of directors have to vote in a new head of the company, and they're all a bunch of weenies. They don't know what to do, so they all vote for the black guy who's in charge of maintenance because that puts him on the board.
That's funny.
So he becomes the head of the company, and he immediately fires all the white people, and he hires all these typical 60s black characters talking about all this. It's, oh my God, it is.
Putney's what?
Putney Swope, S-W-O-P-E.
Yeah, they've played that at the New Beverly Cinema, Tarantino's cinema here in town, but I didn't get to it.
And there's even a bit part done by someone, I don't know if you ever heard of him, his name is Mel Brooks.
Oh, word, Mel Brooks is in this.
Okay. Yeah, it's a little part.
I'm going to check this one out. I ain't never heard of this one. Huh. Okay, word.
I have to say, most people I tell about it hate it, but it's something that's like real period, real like, holy shit, how did they make this?
Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's worth seeing just to see the characters that they came up with.
That's why you remember it, though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Every decade gets one of those. I think in the 80s it was Soul Man. Like, how did they make this?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Soul Man.
Yeah. All right,
but
Paul.
Yeah,
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, bud.
I was going to say, if you like that, Robert Downey Jr. did make a documentary about his dad that's on Netflix, because a lot of people forget that he's, you know, not just junior to nobody. He's junior to this filmmaker.
Yeah, I think this was, I think it was his first film. I'm not sure about that.
I got to see it.
Yeah. All right.
We'll put that on the list.
All right, Paul.
And put that on the list. Put Saturday Night on the list.
There we
go. Joker. Something
new will come out. We'll definitely check on
Saturday. Damn, DC.
Sounds good, bud. Sounds good. And will we get you at the end of the month again?
Most likely, yes. Well, I'll let you know. We'll play that by ear. I know Halloween, you know, for those who don't know, I have a full-size 20-foot Ecto-1 Ghostbuster vehicle.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, word.
Yeah, he does. It's awesome.
So that's busy season for me at the end of this. So I might not be around until November again, because I'll be out busting ghosts and doing parties and some charity events and stuff. So I got going on at the end of the month.
Do you have a costume?
I do.
You got the full getup.
Paul Preston. What do you mean?
Well, I just wanted to make sure. I mean, you know,
mofo's got the freaking car, and you're asking, does he have a car? Of course he's got a car. He's got four proton packs in the back, too.
All right.
I bought the whole thing from a guy. I had some inheritance, and so a friend of mine sent me a Craigslist ad and said, hey, this is for sale. I'm like, dude, I'm going to buy that. Now I have to buy that. So I did, and it was from a guy who used to, like, go set it up at parties for like decor, and he'd put like mannequins in the suits and put proton packs on. I'm like, no, I'll put the suit on, I'll put the proton pack on, and I will run this party. And so that's how I've been doing it. It's been a blast.
I think the next car you should get, though, Paul, is the Back to the Future DeLorean.
I saw one. I've seen.
Really?
I've seen.
Done up with the whole flux capacitor and everything?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I saw one. I had. What was it?
I sat in one.
A word?
Yeah.
I just saw one riding around. I was like, yo, it was crazy. Dude was riding around with it and everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a guy here in Southern California that actually makes them from scratch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's like. He is in conjunction with the leftover of the factory. That still has parts for DeLoreans.
Wow!
And he'll build one for you.
I'm gonna have to later on when I come in after we get this movie done. Yeah, because I would absolutely get one and ride it around like a
motherfucker. Oh, absolutely.
Well, listen, you want to have that conversation? Here's what you do: October 25th, I believe, is the date Marty goes back in time, right, to 1955 from 1985.
October 5th, 1955.
It's October 5th.
No, November. Today? November 5th, 1955. Sorry.
It's November 5th? Okay, November regardless. 5th. I should have that memorized because I'm a movie guy. But the point is, October 25th, at the Puente Hills Mall, where the whole first Back to the Future event took place, they're having an event at 9 o'clock. And it's just free. You can show up. There can be a ton of DeLorean owners there. You can ask them all your questions.
Oh, we're going.
That's
going to
be pretty cool.
We're going.
And a big old party about the big old party celebrating the movie.
So. Cool. We got to go. Yeah. All right, buddy. Sounds good. We will hopefully catch you at the end of the month. If not, we will definitely catch you in November.
Good to talk to you, brother.
I'll keep seeing movies because they keep making them.
That's right.
Indeed.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Take care,
buddy. All right. Take care, bud.